El Pasoans may have noticed film crews shooting on our streets the last few weeks, a sign that film production is returning from a long COVID hibernation. Managing these productions for the city is a newly reorganized film commission. I'm Charles Horak, and you're listening to On Film. El Paso's Film Commission has a new name, the Film and Creative Industries Commission, and a new but familiar head of the commission. I'm happy to have Drew Mayer Oakes back on the program today. Good morning, Drew.
Thanks for having me, Charles. It's a pleasure to be with you today.
Yeah, nice to catch up and nice to have you back in El Paso. A lot has happened in the last year, year and a half through COVID. I should mention that you were the film commissioner from 2018 to 2020 when COVID hit, and then that office went on a bit of a hibernation. I think you went on a walkabout, but you're back. You were just recently rehired as the commissioner for film and creative industries. I guess in your absence, there was a little bit of coordination going on through Destination El Paso. Brooke over there took on that mantle. But welcome back to El Paso. And with all of the interest I see people posting all over the city, film crews out and about on the streets, there just seems to be a lot happening right now. You jumped right back into it, didn't you?
I sure did. I re-interviewed for the position in late May, and they notified me of their decision to bring me back on I believe it was the 11th of June, and I started in the office again and remote on the 14th of June with a week to go for our first large production, which was included quite a bit of permitting for road closures and driving shots in downtown El Paso and Scenic Drive and Rim Road, and really hit the ground running. As you mentioned, Brooke Underwood had done a great job of being interim film commissioner while I was gone, and had coordinated early on with a number of these projects. And so I landed in town right when the excitement started.
And that big project you were referencing that start that dovetailed with your start was the Liam Neeson action film, I think, that was shooting around El Paso, but largely shot in Bulgaria, of all places. I guess they were getting all their exterior shots here.
That's right. They had been in Bulgaria most of the spring. And the story, it originally was written for Phoenix. I was pleased to hear from the director that he visited Phoenix and really didn't see the film there. And he came to El Paso, and one of their writing team had some history in El Paso, and he really loved it. And he loved the views and the relief and the downtown architecture. And so we spent 3 days driving various picture vehicles that are El Paso crew people had to recreate from the Bulgarian photographs of the cars that they'd used overseas, and they pulled it off, and it was a lot of fun. The director on that was Martin Campbell, who is a well-known older director from England, who had done GoldenEye and also Casino Royale, so he was certainly no stranger to shooting on the streets of the world's most famous urban centers.
Well, right on the heels of that, you didn't get much rest, because then right behind them came the Amazon feature, which is shooting here now, a biopic about the trailblazing luchador Cassandro. And I know that's been shooting on both sides of the border. I guess you're still knee deep in that project.
We are, and they are doing similar. They're gathering similar footage, exteriors. This particular film actually has brought their lead in. He's driving to and fro and using a lot of great El Paso locations from the famous wrestler's childhood and as he was growing up and getting into the industry, the wrestling industry.
So I wanted to back up. Now that you are the head of the Film and Creative Industries Commission, that creative industries, is that sort of a nod to the fact that beyond film, there are other types of projects that often come to town or that El Paso wants to lure here that may dovetail with film in a creative sense?
It does. And what really prompted the change was our office had been working with the Texas Music Office, specifically in Austin, to become a music certified city. We have received that certification thanks to Brooke Underwood and primarily Veronica Castro, our tourism director at right. Destination El Paso. So that's very exciting to me. Music is a really important part of the creative industry, and it's a really important part of our creative culture here in El Paso. And it has impact in a variety of ways. And of course, for tourism, it's something that people respond to music cities, and mm-hmm. music is such an important part of an experience when you're experiencing a destination. So we're looking forward to building the music part of our office and creating a really unique database that will allow visitors and also businesses that are looking to hire musicians or to use musicians in their company parties or other things, and also to promote our local music industry. We've got a really vibrant recording industry here in the city, and a lot of the local artists that are world class, and we want to promote them.
Sure. It seems like a good dovetail with film and some overlap in the approach. Back to film production, it's interesting. Last week, our guest on this show was Gilbert Jorgensen, who owns Leo Lighting Grip and Camera, a rental house for productions, film productions. And I was making the point to him that it seemed that he's filling a need that we've never really had, which is to have a major equipment rental house here to service these productions that are coming. And sort of a bellwether for me that if we've reached the point where a business like that can be sustained, then maybe that bodes well for the amount of production that might be on the horizon. I wonder, from your position, I know it's been very busy, is all of these productions is a result of sort of a backlog of things that we're waiting to shoot, and now that COVID's over, they're all coming? Or do you see this sort of sustaining as something that every few months we might have a major production in town?
I think it's certainly a little bit of both, but the impact that the streaming platforms have had on production is mm-hmm. is quite amazing. And
meaning just the sheer amount of things that are being made now.
Exactly. And you know, for instance, and these are just kind of rough numbers, but the major studios like Warner Brothers, Paramount, Universal may have between, 15 and 25 titles that they produce right. in any given year. Companies like Netflix, Apple TV, even Hulu and others, but primarily Netflix and Amazon and Apple are now doing 300 and 400 titles a year. So that's an astronomical boost right. in production. And, they have to go, many of them have to go where the stories take them. Sometimes the budgets are smaller, and that means less budget for recreating certain things like border towns or desert mm-hmm. locales or certain things that we may have specifically. So I think it's a combination of a little bit of pent-up demand, but also a real shift in the paradigm for how productions are happening now. The number of productions has just increased so much that we're hopeful that we're going to get more of these projects and we're happy to have the smaller, 6, 7, 8, 10 day shoots. And Bulgaria certainly served this previous production well for all their interiors and some of their night exteriors, but when the film comes out, it's set in El Paso, and the movie will look like it was made in El Paso. So that's very, very cool. I'm really pleased that they were able to sneak in and get it done, and then the Cassandro film also is going to be a real hoot to watch, and looking forward to that.
So these are films that for various reasons needed to shoot here because of either the El Paso setting or the need for a border city or the locale, the look of El Paso. But for your hat that you wear also in the Film Commission of attracting production, that seems to still, we still have a challenge there because of the way tax incentives work and packages like that. Where does El Paso sit in relation to, say, Albuquerque, Atlanta, states that are offering greater incentives?
Well, we are at a disadvantage. Our Texas incentive program is it is a good program. It's a program that is financially very sound, but it's a small program, and it really is not large enough to really push production out to us. We often remind our friends in Austin, Dallas, and Houston that, hey, we're so far away, we're in a different time zone.
Right.
But the thing that is very encouraging is that our local film community, and that means our local crew people, are continuing to gain experience and expand their role in these projects that are coming in. And also the rise of our independent film festivals in the city is a real benefit to bringing in productions that are somewhat incentive non-dependent, and that would be indie films that are, you know, less than $1 million budget, that need a great locale. They need housing that, you know, the city here, we can provide because of the large number of new hotel rooms that we've had come online in the last year, and the availability of our local crew and equipment. And so we've historically had small equipment suppliers that have been promoted and have carried a lot of the load. But as you mentioned, Gilbert has a lot of new gear, including camera rentals that will really allow us take advantage of these smaller projects.
And for these local indie filmmakers, of which there are many, I know a lot of them often shoot without coordinating with the Film Commission and permitting, but you're still there to support and coordinate lots of city services, I gather, no matter what size the budget, whether it's a local indie or a multi-million dollar project.
Exactly. And you know, just a simple call to our office for most projects, even if they're not large enough to require our permitting services, can really be a benefit. And, you know, some of the smaller projects have particular needs that just because of the sheer number of productions that we've dealt with over the years, we can offer solutions that many local filmmakers may not even have considered,
right.
For, you know, car chases and, stunt work or unique locations that they can actually afford. You know, those are the things that we can really help them and point them in the right direction.
Or police and fire support.
Police and fire support, exactly. And our police is such a great, our police division here in the city is such a great asset, because we have officers that have been working in the industry for 10 plus years and have done some of these really large projects like Sicario and The Counselor and then the most recent projects we've done that involve intricate car work, road closures, intermittent closures, and that sort of thing. So, and we're more affordable than some film centers, specifically Albuquerque and Atlanta, where costs for police support have really skyrocketed. So,
of course, these outside these outside productions too are hiring locals, which is important. Which means each time, more and more locals are becoming experienced of working with major productions, and that just makes it easier, I imagine, to market the city, because we have some homegrown talent here that can staff and they don't have to fly in all their crew. I imagine is the city working on like an updated database now that you're back of what assets are available locally?
We are. We are beta testing a new crew system called Crew Guru that we're very excited about, because it kind of includes traditional database features, but it's also a very social system. So producers can create their own network of El Paso crew, and they remain in their crew portfolio if they subscribe to this system, which is free currently as a beta tester. We're offering it for free. So it's in the very beginning stages of working for us, but it's software that really was developed within the last 5 years. So it's not a legacy system. It utilizes, you know, all of the new types of social networking tools to allow producers to connect with crew people that are working on the types of projects that they need.
And how do people get that beta version?
We are going to be offering that probably by the end of the summer. You can look at filmelpaso.com, which is our current website, and get a preliminary look at that. Probably that preliminary look, which will be either a slideshow or a small video, will probably be available in August so that you can see the system and kind of get an idea of how you want to position yourself. It includes features so that you can list as, for instance, a costumer on film and television projects. But if you also do performing arts and live theater, you can categorize yourself in that category. And if you do corporate work, if you're a rigger and you do rock and roll shows and you do staging and rigging for that, that can also be differentiated so that it really is targeted. And it really is perfect for our community because we have a lot of craftspeople that do both film, of television, course, live events, and music and corporate.
A lot of overlap there.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people, particularly on the rigging side too, that go both to music and film productions. I was reading recently about Oklahoma City, which is really put a lot of chips on attracting film production. They've just built a very large soundstage there, production studio. I think they rehabilitated an old basketball stadium, actually, but really made a big splash the last few weeks in the press of rolling that out in hopes that they can attract some eyeballs and productions. Do you see the city of El Paso ever wading into that realm of infrastructure?
Well, it's something that we are always considering, the absence of our state incentive being as effective for us as we would like it to be. It's a bit of a holdup. Yeah, for that. And the Oklahoma incentive program is quite generous, and that's what's driving a lot of their infrastructure growth. I've been doing this a long time, and
I know,
and I've seen so many people saying, "Oh, we're going to build a studio and they will come."
Right.
Which doesn't usually translate, to reality. However, please don't get me wrong. A facility of that type is a huge asset. But it has to be only a component of your program.
Yeah. So, and if you don't have the tax incentives, that conversation starts and stops on what that number is. And if you don't rise to the level of some of our state competitors, that conversation doesn't carry on to what infrastructure you have.
Right. And I think for probably the next 5 to 10 years, our city will continue on the track of smaller facilities, higher quality facilities than we've had in the past, and those are gonna be a huge benefit both on the music side and on the film side, including small stages, post production facilities, and prop rental and costume rental facilities. And a lot of our crew are not only working freelance when they are able, but they're also running these small businesses that are supplementing the industry. And that's important because, our neighbors in New Mexico have a very strong incentive program, and they tend to create a lot of crew people. But what I see happening in El Paso is much more entrepreneurial, and I find that more interesting. I think that that's it's more in tune with the culture of our city.
It's a can-do attitude that, you know, we have to do it ourselves. And I see a lot of support in this community among the various filmmakers. So I'm glad your office is continuing to support indie local film as well as spending time attracting these big productions. And I know you're wearing several hats now. It's good to see you back in El Paso and working again. And thanks so much for talking to me today, Drew.
It's been my pleasure. I always enjoy visiting, and I'm so happy to be back. I grew up in West Texas, out in the South Plains, and have really enjoyed moving to El Paso. And I'm looking forward to being here for years and years. And it's a very exciting time to be here.
I've been discussing El Paso's newly reorganized Film and Creative Industries Commission with its new head, Drew Mayer Oakes. Oakes was El Paso's film commissioner from 2018 to 2020, and his duties now include not just film production, but also music and other creative industries spending money in the city. For more of my conversation with Drew Mayer Oakes, you can log on to ktep.org. Thanks to the KTEP staff for editing today's show. I'm Charles Horak. Thank you for listening to On Film.